Before we get into the message, we're going to pray. So if everybody could bow their head and close their eyes. Father God, thank you so much, God, for who you are. Thank you, God, for everything that you're going to do today. Lord, thank you that for everything that you've already done. God, I ask that you would speak through me, God. Whatever you want to say, God, let it come out. Father, let it fall on good soil, Lord Jesus, and let it yield 30, 60, 100 times, God, that which was planted. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you have to say. And God, just open our eyes to see, God, from your perspective, Lord Jesus, the influence, God, that we have on people. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so by show of hands, how many of you guys have heard about the story of Philip and the Ethiopian court official, or eunuch? One. In the book of Acts, two. Okay, that's cool. Three. Four. So I'm going to read the story to you guys because we need a backdrop of what we're going to be talking about today. So everybody turn to Acts chapter 8. Verses 26 through 40. All right, so the story starts off. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, "Go south down to the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candake, the queen of Ethiopia. Another name is Candace. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk alongside this beside this carriage." Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The man replied, "How can I unless someone instructs me?" And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken away from the earth?" The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else?" So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north at the town of Azotus. He preached the good news there and in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. So here we have this story about Philip. Now, Philip was a church leader. He was an evangelist. He would go around to different cities in Israel and preach the gospel to Jews. That was his thing. He would see tons of people saved, tons of people come to know Jesus. Now he has the angel of the Lord tell him to go out to this desert road where it's really hot and nobody's going to be there. So as a quick example, if God told one of you guys to go to the Mojave Desert, which is the driest desert in North America, and walk on a road that looks like this, if you could put that picture up there, would you do it? If you have water. Yeah, no, I agree. I would be like, okay, so this is it then, huh? This is how you want me to die, God. All right, Lord. Well, I was hoping that I would go in my hospital bed when I was 88 with all my family around me, but if you want me to go like this, I understand. At least it's cool. But, yeah. So before we go any further, though, we have to understand where Philip just came from. In Acts chapter 8, 9 to 25, you don't have to worry about turning to this one. Philip was basically in this town called Samaria. And he was preaching the gospel with the apostles, and there was tons of people there, and they were believing on Jesus and getting saved. And so he saw bunches of people saved, hundreds, maybe thousands. There's no real number specified. But he sees all these people come to Christ, and then all of a sudden, the Lord tells him to go to this desert place where nobody is, And he's like, okay, I'll do it. But to be honest with you, he's not used to doing this type of stuff. The only times that we're aware of so far that he's been used is like when tons of people are around him and tons of people he's preaching to. But God says, hey, I want you to go out to this deserted desert road where probably nobody is. I just want you to go. And the Bible doesn't really say God told him why. He just told him to do it. So either way, though, God went and did it. So when Philip goes to this road, he sees that there's a chariot traveling on it. The Holy Spirit tells him to go over and join the chariot. Philip obeys, goes and joins the chariot, and starts to explain the good news about Jesus to this Ethiopian eunuch. Eventually, the eunuch believes and is baptized. And as soon as they come up out of the water from baptism, Philip disappears and the eunuch goes on rejoicing. So I was reading this, and something that really stuck out to me was, Philip disappears, and the eunuch is like, woo! Yeah, this is awesome. But to me, if somebody were to disappear in front of me, I'd be like, what just happened? That's kind of weird. But either way, guy was happy. So he was rejoicing. And then we're told that Philip is taken by the Holy Spirit to a place called Azotus. And he passes through all the towns preaching the gospel until he came to Caesarea. So what are we to make of all this? Here Philip is, he's this evangelist, he's this early church leader who's used, he was so used to big crowds, bustling cities, and tons of people coming to faith in Jesus. And God tells him to go to a place where none of that stuff is going to be, or so he thinks. But he does it and finds out that the reason God wanted him to go to this road was to get one person saved. One person. He just came from a place where he saw hundreds of people get saved. Hundreds of people get changed. Hundreds of people get touched by God. And God says, no, I want you to go to this place to get one person touched by God. To get one person saved. But here's the thing. The Ethiopian eunuch brought the gospel back to Ethiopia. He's going to have an effect on his whole country now. Because he brought the gospel back to his home country. So, you know, sometimes as Christians, we think that God can only use us in large group settings. We think that it has to be giant masses that we have to preach in front of, or we have to be seen by everyone. That every time we're used by him, it has to be this big thing where tons of people get saved. And don't get me wrong, God absolutely moves in that way, and he wants to do that stuff. However, this story tells us that God can use the simplest and smallest beginnings or instances to accomplish his biggest plans. So for instance, like the truth is, it's not really about, you know, standing up on your cafeteria table and preaching the gospel. Now, if God tells you to do that, be wise, but, you know, don't do it just to freak people out and start like convulsing. I don't know. Yeah. What's wrong with that, dude? What I'm saying is that it could just be as simple as sitting with that person that nobody sits with at lunch, or talking to the kid that nobody talks to, or being friends with someone who doesn't have any friends, or maybe you see someone that's sad and just smiling at them. Don't discount the little things. I remember just in school, like, I would want so badly to do stuff, like, to I would just have an imagination or a vision of preaching to a bunch of people and getting a bunch of people saved in my classes. And those are good visions, and you need to have those and pray about them. But the truth is, I would try to do it by myself. I would try to do it because I wanted to do it, not because God had put it in my heart to do it. And it never worked. But then there were days that I would go to school and I would see that kid sitting by himself that just looked depressed. And I just would feel in my heart, you know, someone needs to sit with him. So I would go sit with him. Don't discount that, because your actions will speak literally louder than words. Going and sitting with that person, talking to them, can make such a difference in their life. God will use you, yes, in big instances where you will tell someone about Jesus and lead them to him. God will use you in those ways or to pray for someone. But God's also going to use you just to be a friend to someone. God, just to be a presence, maybe when they're going through something. So don't discount that. And as an example, a few months back, there were 2 weeks that were so different that I just can't leave it out from an example. The first week, I went to Guitar Center. And usually, guys, when I go to Guitar Center, because I play guitar, I love music, I play every instrument, every type of instrument, not every instrument. I play the drums, I play the piano, I play the acoustic guitar, the acoustic bass, I play the electric guitar. I don't think I've ever played the electric bass, but I just like to play the instruments, and sometimes I'm in there from like 2 to 4 hours, which is really fun. And so I was in there, and I ran into this guy who told me he just got saved a week before. And God used me. We talked for like an hour and 30 minutes. And he just used me to speak life into this guy and to encourage him. And that was awesome. And then the next day at work, God just used me to, there was a guy that came in who also just got saved like a month before. And God used me to encourage him. And then we came to church on Sunday, and I was preaching just like I am today. I was preaching. And then after I got done preaching, somebody came up to me, got to pray for him. And then later after service was over, got to talk to another kid. So all this awesome stuff was happening to me. So guess what? For the next week, I had high expectations. I was expecting that it was going to be 10 times better, that there was going to be 8 people that were going to come to me, 20 people that were coming to me, and I was going to be able to pray for them and tell them how much God loves them. But guess what? Nothing. Nothing. The only thing that happened was on Wednesday and Sunday, I talked to on Wednesday a guy about paintball, and then on Sunday I talked to another guy about taekwondo and paintball. That's what happened. And I was paintball, man, and taekwondo. That's what guys do. But so that's what we talked about, and I was so disappointed because my expectations were higher than it was actually going to be. But I talked to somebody on the worship team. I talked to Marcus, and he's the bass player. And he told me, look, sometimes God uses you in the ways where you are, you know, praying for people, where you're telling people about Jesus. People are getting saved or people are getting healed and stuff. But then other times God just uses you to be a friend. God just uses you just to talk. And I'm here today just to tell you guys, don't discount those things. Don't, you know, go into the first day of school and think, well, you know, and maybe what you wanted to happen doesn't happen, but maybe you got to become a new friend with someone, or just talk to somebody and be a good presence and a friend in their life. Don't discount that, because think about this. What if you become a friend with that person, and then along down the line, you invited them to church and they get saved? Or what if you start talking to this person and you find out they're going through some hard times and you just feel led to pray for them, and you pray for them and they give their life to Christ? So the importance of that is we can't put God in a box and say that he only has to use us in the big ways that we think of. But the truth is that they're all big ways. It's just that they look different. We don't have to necessarily see a bunch of stuff, but what God is doing, he does it even though we don't know what's going on. Basically, we can't tell God, why didn't you use me in the way I wanted you to? Because he didn't want to use us that way. He wants to use us in the way that he wants to use us. And so, just as encouragement for you guys, when you're going back to school in a couple of weeks, or maybe it's next week, just to remind you of that, sorry. You will be grateful when you graduate to college. But, and then adulthood, I don't know. But just to encourage you guys, be available to what God is going to do. Be available. When you wake up in the morning, say, God, I'm available to be used by you today. Whatever way you want to use me, whatever way that looks like. It may not, you know, you may expect something big, but or expect big things. But at the same time, just realize that God can use you in so many different ways. Just to be a friend or to preach the gospel on your cafeteria table. So many different ways that he can do it. So be available. Number one, just be available to what he's doing. Just like Philip was available. And be obedient. Be obedient. When God tells you to do something, just like Philip did, he didn't question God. He went and did it. Be obedient. Sometimes, yes, it is hard to be obedient because you're like, but God, what if I do that? And then, but he told you to do it. And we have to get out of this mindset of, well, if I do it, then I'm going to do this and do that. But God told you to do it, and he's going to take care of you. So number one, just be available and be obedient for what God has told you to do. Be open to what he's telling you to do when you go back to school. That is what I have. So let's just go ahead and pray. So if you guys could bow your heads and close your eyes. Father God, we thank you for who you are. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for all that you're going to do with us, Lord Jesus, this upcoming school year. Lord God, we ask you would teach us, Father God, how to be available to what you're doing. Lord Jesus, help us to be available, Lord God, and to make ourselves available. But God, also help us to be obedient, Father God, to what you're telling us to do. And Lord, let us not discount the little things, Lord Jesus. Let us not discount just being a friend, Lord God, or just being kind to people, God, just being a presence in someone's life, Father God. We ask you that you would use us in awesome ways, God. But I thank you that every way that you use us is awesome because, God, you're the one who's using us. So, Father God, we say that we are available. God, we open our hearts to you. We say that we're available. And, God, we ask you that you would help us to walk in obedience, God, in this upcoming school year, starting today, Lord Jesus, right now to what you're saying, Lord God. So we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Give it up for Mr. Michael Dunning. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Real quick, just piggybacking on that. Who has friends that you know that are like, man, they need Jesus? Some of y'all like, oh, that guy. Or, oh, she definitely does. Who has a friend who is going through stuff that is like hard? And you're like, man, Jesus can do something about that. What if I told you that you might be the closest thing to Jesus that they'll see? What if I told you that you might be the only Jesus that they'll ever encounter? What if I told you that, man, the way that you live, the way that you talk, the way that you walk, the way that you act dictates if they see Jesus or not. If they see salvation or life change or not. At the end of the day, it is just like what Mr. Mike was saying, that it's not in the big things like, oh, God, what do you want me to do today? I feel like you want me to, like, this cafeteria table. Listen! Everybody in here, if you do not know Jesus, you're going to hell. And then just walk off. Don't do that. But it does look a little bit like this. You walking into that cafeteria room. You seen that kid who always gets picked on. You see that kid who's always sitting by himself. You see that girl who's always being talked about, always been gossiped about. You see that boy who has a lot of anger issues. And you sit next to him, you sit right beside him, or you sit across from him, and say, hey, what's your name? Or, hey, so-and-so, since you already know the name, maybe. How's life? What's up? It's in the small little interactions where just a little bit of kindness, a whole lot of just you being available, where you can reveal Jesus. It's that point where they look at you and they say, you're kind of weird. Why are you like that? Why are you always kind? Why always nice? Why don't you talk like everybody else? Why don't you curse? Why don't you, gossiping with everybody else? Why aren't you talking about that person? Why are you the way you are? Literally, that got asked to me a whole lot back when I used to be working in the mall. And I really got to say, hey, oh, it's because I'm a Christian. Oh, it's because, oh, I used to be like that, y'all, but I got saved. What? It normally looked like this. It normally looked like, you got saved. Sam, you a Christian? You don't look like one. Because I was like, apparently you can't have dreads and be a Christian. I was like, that. I always looked like I was like, do I look like a drug dealer or something? Like, what am I supposed to look like? Like, there's other stories about that. I'm not going to tell you those stories, but there are stories. But the way you live, the way you talk, the way you walk, you can be that person of truth and life and bring Jesus to somebody who needs him. That's who you are. So I just encourage y'all, take what you just learned. You don't have to be doing all the crazy stuff. It's just you just being available. Who wants to be available? Huh? Who wants to be available to tell somebody about Jesus, to be Jesus to somebody, to help them go through things or to bring to them into salvation? Who wants to be like that? Awesome. Then I just encourage you guys, don't get caught up into the mess and the drama of life. And have that in your heart that when you wake up in the morning, when you go into that school, when you're walking through those hallways, that Jesus, I'm available today. Use me. That's a simple prayer, y'all. God, give me opportunities to show people who you are. That's it. And I guarantee you'll get those opportunities. Guarantee. So, bless that. Name of Jesus. All right. Amen. There it is. That was my prayer. So, real quick. So, I guess the boys won the bad joke telling. What was the final joke? Where do pets go when they lose their tails? The retail store? That's so funny. I could die. That's so fun. All right. So, yeah, I'm bring out the cookies on the counter. One at a time, you'll get one. And you don't get participation trophies in here. Sorry. I don't enforce that type of thinking. If you lose, you lose. Just saying. You can be, if you're here for second service. Okay, then, sorry. All right, so other than that, free time, let's hang out.